from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Ah, crap! I almost forgot!
Wait!
Chomp! I'm saving it for a good time!
What is it?
Big G! The best!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Hey, check this out. Lou Gehrig's pants. Not a bad fit. Hey, you don't think that nerve disease of his was contagious, do you? Better take him off. I'm too important to this team. Big Stein can't be flopping and twitching.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Let's have a smell, all right? Ooh, wafting, wafting. Oh, everyone likes their own brand, don't they? This is magic.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Hour number 2. Dirt and Sprague here on a Friday morning. Happy Friday to everybody out there. Running a little bit late for hour 2. We got fired up. We're talking college football. Everybody's passionate. We're all eager for football season to be here. We are back. Hour number 2, 7:40. We will get to an Oklahoma State preview. It's going to be kind of a wonky scheduling thing that we do with the clock. We got to navigate and manipulate. We'll see how we can make that work. But Oklahoma State coming up at 7:40, and then Arizona today at 8:30. We'll see how they're feeling in the departure of Jed Fish and a new era of Arizona football where they have big expectations in year one in the Big 12. We were talking about the Group of Five thinking about adding their own postseason playoff and crowning a Group of Five champion at the end of the season to kind of run concurrent with the college football playoff. I'm running to read a couple of thoughts here. Joel commented on YouTube and said, I think they should do a Tier 2 playoff with teams that rank number 13 through number 24, better than meaningless bowl games. And I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. I actually think, too, one of the biggest things that I would love to get away from in the postseason is these neutral site random place games. Like, Oregon State played in the Sun Bowl last year. With what happened at the end of the season, your coach left, your players were leaving. Where was the desire at all to go to El Paso, Texas? And when do they play that game? Early January, I want to say, or late December, whenever that game is.
December 31st?
Yeah, usually New Year's Eve or whatever. Like, who wants, like, I'm not going to that game if I'm a fan. I know that they had some down there, but I'm not spending my hard-earned money to go watch a shell of a team play Notre Dame in El Paso, Texas. I think I would be in full support of that, especially if you tied in home field advantages, where you had the chance to say, hey, my team was ranked, 16th in the country this year. We were just on the outside looking in. We get to host the number 22 team in the country. They're coming to our place. Like, all right, we're not in the big playoff. We're not going to go play in the Rose Bowl or the Sugar Bowl. But, hey, Auburn's coming to town. We get to watch that. It'd be kind of fun. I'll go down to that game. I don't have to travel. I just have to drive a couple of hours. Or if I live in the area, I'm right there to go. I would be all for that. And I think it would spice up the postseason, which has clearly been lacking in years past. One listener said, it won't happen, but the Group of Five, they should only play 8 to 10 games in the regular season and then have a short playoff and sent the champion of their playoffs to the college football playoff. And I think that's a brilliant idea.
Love that.
As their representative of like, here's our champion. Let's go see what you can do. You won the Group of Five championship. Now you get to go compete against the best teams in the country. Brilliant idea. Will it happen? Probably not, because then you're losing regular season games. I don't know how that works, but I think it's a wonderful idea. And then one other quick text I'll read is said, separating the group of five from the power conferences like that would be dystopian and devastating for the overall allure of college football. People love college football for the parity and the regionality, and that would kill every last bit of it for money to sad world. Understand the feeling. I genuinely do. I don't.
It's already happened.
It's already happening, first off. And I think the other hard part about this is I wonder how there's a part of me internally that thinks people are underestimating the interest that big-time matchups are going to have in this sport going forward, where you are losing some of the fabric of what we loved about the sport in years past, undoubtedly. But what you are adding is what is arguably the most important thing now in sports, which is how many eyeballs can you get to watch your events?
Right.
And if I am now throwing at you Texas, Alabama, Texas, Georgia, Oklahoma, LSU, USC, Penn State, or like when I throw mm-hmm. those matchups at you on CBS or NBC or ABC, how many more eyeballs are tuning in to watch those games that would have Texas, Kansas, or Texas, or Iowa State, or Texas, Kansas State go down the list of their Big 12 opponents? You could do the same with the Pac-12 schools that ultimately left. And are you going to be able to get more eyeballs than you would have if you didn't have some of those big-time matchups? Nobody knows how this is going to officially play out, but I tend to think that this year, from a television standpoint, is going to be the biggest in the history of the sport because all of it is new, all of it is exciting, mm-hmm. and I think you're going to rope in a lot more people than you have in years past as college football fans.
It's the same conversation that we had with the Blazers. You know, you need to be in a space that's easy to find, and you need to be able to get casual fans in. What's the easiest way for casual fans to get into college football? Oh, hey, on October 12th, I've got Ohio State, Oregon.
Yes.
Oh, immediately after that game, I have USC and Penn State.
And Texas and Oklahoma in the morning.
Exactly. So you have all these different rivalry games or these new games with big time programs that are going to be forced with the new conference realignment. And now I get it, right? Like, I'm sad about the regionality dying. I'm sad that, you know, it felt like Pac-12 football was different than Big 12 football, which was different than Big 10 football, which was different than SEC football.
Yeah.
But at the same time, college football has always been moving. They've always been realigning. I mean, there's this documentary on ESPN called Saturdays in the South, and it basically explains why the SEC has kind of become the SEC, and it started at these humble beginnings into what it is now. There are a lot of football teams that were in the SEC, one, that don't even have football anymore. But if they do, they're like D3 teams or D2 teams. Like they always say, the greatest college football team of all time was some team that's now a D3 at the time they were an SEC team, and they won like 7 games in 5 days or something stupid like that, right? And only like 3 people died. So that was like kind of their whole bit. So football is always moving. College football is always moving, and they're going to move to a spot where they can get the most amount of money to their program so that they can say, hey, we are the best conference. We're the conference of champions, or we're the conference of this, we're the conference of that. It just means more. And you're going to get insane matchups that you never got before. Is it going to cost some teams like Oregon State and WSU? Yes, it is. And they won't be the only ones that it's going to cost them, right? The ACC right now, I'll tell you what, there's some schools like Wake Forest over there that are getting real nervous and they're shaking in their boots. But it's also just kind of the evolution of the sport. And it'll evolve again and again and again.
It has always been changing. We have conferences, you know, go the way of the dodo bird for many years now. So it's happened in the past. It will continue to happen. And I'm genuinely curious how this works out, because I think the fear of losing the regionality, while I wholeheartedly understand the complaint, I think it's a uniquely West Coast issue with the sport, where other pockets of the country are not necessarily dealing with this. You know, Big Ten schools are now adding West. If you're a fan of a random Big Ten school, you're adding 4 teams from the West Coast. So your schedules are slightly different, or maybe you now have to make a trip to LA or to Eugene or to Seattle that you wouldn't have in years past. But the rest of your conference is the same. The SEC is still in their footprint. Cal and Stanford being in the ACC is the dumbest thing that's ever happened in the history of college athletics. But for the ACC schools, that's like one trip every however many years you got to do it if we're just looking at football. And so their regionality and their conference, at least as of now, is still intact. The Big 12, yes, it spreads a wider footprint than maybe some of the other conferences do, but a lot of the nucleus of that conference is still left intact, and it's mainly in the middle pockets of the country. And so some of the regionality losses that we've had are primarily just felt by us. Now, maybe that continues to change, and as Will mentioned, the ACC crumbles. You get it over on the East Coast as well. I think we're in this battle right now of what the future of the sport's going to look like. I think we all know where it is ultimately heading. And I am not a doomsday guy. I think ultimately it's going to be from a national television viewer standpoint. Now, we can argue, is it the right move? Is it what we should be doing to schools? Like, that's all fair and valid. But if you're just looking at the overall success of the sport in terms of people watching, people caring, and people being invested, I'm not a doomsday guy with college football. I think this year is going to be an absolute boom, and we'll see how it goes. But the season is almost here. I just wanted to read a couple thoughts on that because we're talking about the Group of Five having their own playoff. And I think it would be a good alternative for them, but I know it makes other people fear the continued loss of the fabric that we love about college football. Let's stick in football. I got a couple of notes from last night, a few preseason notes, including in college football, a starting quarterback has been named, and will this guy be able to get the job done? I think there's an interesting conversation there. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fam.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're just going to get to some quick odds and ends because we kind of shuffle the clock and how it's going to work. So we're going to just get it to a couple of quick odds and ends, including the age of somebody who is playing college football right now that I would like to talk about. I do want to at some point carve out some time for your Seattle Mariners after the week that they just had. Interesting week. I did the show on Monday. I'm here. We're doing our favorite things on the weekend. They were on Sunday Night Baseball. They scored like 20,000 runs on Sunday Night Baseball, and everybody's feeling great. Sky's the limit. Lineup is back. Julio's back. And 3 days, 4 or 5 days later, I mean, what happened? Things are not going well. So we'll talk about them at some point here in the next hour and 40 minutes of the show. Did you watch any Eagles and Pats preseason football last night? Did you see Drake May out there slinging the rock, running in tutties?
I'm convinced. Superstar.
So he's got to be. Got to be.
Next Tom Brady. Him or Joe Milton at the same time.
I did chuckle. Joe Milton, by the way, was horrible last night. So I think he's lost a little bit of the steam to be their starting quarterback. They had a chance, the Patriots did, to win the game on a final drive. And I just chuckled that all this hype about Joe Milton, and they didn't put him in for that final drive. It was Bailey Zappe at the end of the game with a chance to win it, which I thought was a little strange. They were continuing to start Jacoby Brissett, who, like, what are we doing, man? Why are we still working on that? Why don't we just move on and acknowledge that Drake May is going to be your starter? May actually had a decent game last night, pushed the ball downfield a couple times. One of them was dropped. He did run in a touchdown. The main stat, though, that I would like to point to you, I had forgotten where this guy went. This is one of those fun games early in the season where you're like, oh, that's right. That's where he's playing now. Kenny Pickett is a Philadelphia Eagle.
Yeah.
Kenny Two Gloves has found his way to Philadelphia. Long trip from Pittsburgh to Philly. His numbers last night, he had 11 first half completions. Okay, you following this? Kenny Pickett, 11 first half completions last night.
Okay.
They somehow averaged 0.7 air yards per completion.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes it's about stat padding.
0.7. He averaged 4.8 yards per attempt, like 4.8, yep. The ball traveled, an average of 4.8 yards per attempt. This is coming off his first start in which he only threw the ball further than 10 yards four times in his first preseason start. He had 23 pass attempts. Only four times did they go over 10 yards, and he was 0-4 in those numbers. And so, Bo Nix gets a bad rap sometimes. It's check down Charlie. I think 0.7 air yards per completion officially makes you the check down Charlie. King, Kenny Pickett, please stand up.
I see what you're doing. You're out here trying to change the narrative. You're trying to protect your own guy. Look, and I'm with you. I don't think Bo Nix is the check down Charlie. I'm a big believer in if the guy is open, just hit him.
Get
right?
him the ball. There's a difference between, like, hey, he's only throwing at 6 yards to 0.7 yards per completion.
Correct. And I wonder if some of that is just Kenny Pickett being like, I need to have completions, because he didn't do that in Pittsburgh. And he came out and he wasn't known for having a big, strong arm.
Right.
But I want to touch on, you were talking about, like, hey, Drake May is just going to be the starter.
Yeah.
I actually think it's a really smart move by New England to not have him start.
Oh, we're going to hold him back a little bit at the start of the year.
At the start. And the whole reason behind that is the system that he played in North Carolina. You're not asking him to make reads. You're not asking him to make adjustments. A big thing that, like, Merrill Hodge has been harping on a lot with Drake May.
He's not a Drake May guy.
He doesn't understand where the hot route is, and he doesn't see blitzes. Well, the reason he doesn't see blitzes is because he can't identify where the blitz is coming from. And a lot of middle school, high school, and even college football now, it comes out of that air raid offense. And so the beauty of the air raid, when Hal Mumme and Leach created it, was you didn't need to be able to read a defense. You didn't need to be able to identify, oh, it's cover two, it's cover three. Hey, they're running man. Hey, the blitz is coming from this side, because the ball is supposed to be out of your hand in 2 seconds anyways, and you're just trying to find the open guy. It's the simplest form of football of all time, because it's, well, you don't have a blitz beater. You just have an open wide receiver, or you have a one-on-one matchup and you throw a 50-50 ball to your best athlete. And so a lot of quarterbacks don't know how to go through and read that defense. And so I think the smart thing is, in New England, have Brissett start for the first half of the year. He's kind of turning into that new age Fitzpatrick, right? This is what everyone did with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You have him come in, he teaches the rookie, then the rookie comes in and takes over. And for Drake May, if you start him right away, you can't go back to Jacoby Brissett. If he comes in and it's clear he's not ready, you can't go to the veteran and be like, well, we'll bring the rookie back. You'll murder his confidence. So start the veteran. Let the rookie learn underneath him. Brissett's a smart guy. He knows that his role in the NFL is going to be to raise up young quarterbacks, help push them forward. And then hopefully by the time you start seeing Drake May, week 9, 10, 11, he's able to kind of have a better understanding of what coverages are coming after him. Hey, where is the mic? Identifying blitzes, moving the O-line to protect himself better so then he doesn't go into this Sam Darnold, I'm seeing ghosts out there, I'm getting hit all the time, I'm scared, and so I'm just throwing the ball away so that I don't get hit.
Yeah, I see the argument for keeping rookie quarterbacks on the bench, and New England is going to be terrible this year. Their offensive line is atrocious. I know they have addressed wide receiver in the draft, and they're hopeful that some of those young guys, Polk had some nice highlights. Like, they're excited about maybe some of those young guys starting to fill in a little bit, but the receiver room, just in terms of proven commodities, is not there. That's one of the reasons they were trying to go after Brandon Ayuk. I'm also just of the opinion that for young athletes, you learn far more experiencing than you do watching. Fair. And so that's where, like, if I'm starting Drake May and I'm New England, I am not under any sort of impression that he is going to dominate and look like C.J. Stroud. Like, I am fully aware, if I'm their GM, if I'm their head coach, and I'm saying, all right, we're giving this guy the reins, I'm fully aware that he's going to suck, and he's going to have a lot of bad games. He's going to miss a lot of open receivers. He's going to take a lot of bad sacks. Like, he is going to struggle. I just tend to come from the belief of, I would rather learn that way and breaking it down in film that week of, hey, do you see why you didn't see this right here? This is where the guy would see how you didn't notice that. And I think you learn more so than watching that on the sideline and saying, okay, see what Jacoby Brissett did here? Mm-hmm. See how he didn't see this. The other tough part with this, because maybe ultimately your strategy ends up being right and it's good to protect his confidence, because I think that's the biggest thing you worry about. The other aspect that we have to acknowledge as a part of this is you are also a business, and you were also trying to attract customers. And if I'm a New England fan, Jacoby Brissett was terrible. He threw a terrible pick in the end zone last night. Like, he's not good, and we know that Jacoby Brissett's not good. He hasn't been relevant. I mean, he had like 12 touchdowns 3 years ago. It's one of the best years of his career. He's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. It's not going to attract a lot of fans and inspiration. Not that Drake May will either, because he's not going to win games, but at least he will sell you a vision for the future of this guy ultimately will turn into X, Y, or Z, and we feel like we can build around him. But I'm curious to see how a handful of teams handle these. Like, Bo Nix is going through this right now in Denver. Jared Stidham was listed as the number one guy. Zach Wilson was listed as the number two guy. I think Bo's going to start their second preseason game. Brissett likely will be the starter in New England. So some of these teams, obviously McCarthy's out for the year, so it will be Sam Darnold for the entire season. Mm-hmm. They're trying to figure out, how do we want to handle it? How do we want to bring these guys along? One of the biggest things you got to push back against is that fans are going to want to see their rookie quarterbacks play. Right. And if New England starts 0-4 and Brissett's got like two tutties and seven picks and looks terrible,
yeah,
you're going to get Drake May chance the entire time, and you're going to put him in week 5 because you're going to have to,
right,
in order to appease the fan base. But there's not a right strategy here. I think everybody comes at it from a different lens, mm-hmm, and I'll be curious to see how New England and Denver, for that matter, handle it as they go into a season where the rookie quarterback who may or may not be ready to play in week 1.
You really just kind of have to trust that rookie. And like in Denver, I'd be more likely to trust Bo Nix than I would New England with Drake May. And there's a couple different reasons for that. Obviously, Drake May is younger. Bo Nix is older. Bo Nix has played in a multitude of different systems, so he understands how difficult it can be to go from one OC to the next OC to the next OC. But I think with Bo Nix, and this is really more of like a matchup situation, is I think that Bo's play style matches with Sean Payton's play calling style.
Sure.
Like, think about what Sean Payton wants to do. We used to call Michael Thomas slant boy. We're like, all you do is run slants. Well, yeah, that's all that was called for him. Sean Payton wants the ball out of his quarterback's hands quick.
Yeah.
He wants a smart quarterback who can identify the coverage, find the open wide receiver, or again, the wide receiver with a 50-50 matchup, and go and target that player. It's what made Drew Brees so great. Drew Brees picked teams apart at short throws and in the middle of the field on medium throws. That's what he was great at. He could obviously throw a deep ball, but how many true deep ball highlights do you remember from Drew Brees? Not very many. And this isn't a knock on Bo Nix, Bo Nix is really good at identifying off the line who's going to be the open wide receiver and just getting the ball into their hands. And he doesn't care if it's a two-yard little swing pass to Bucky Irving and letting Bucky Irving do work. He doesn't care if it's a slant to Gary Bryant Jr. and letting him figure it out. And even every once in a while, throwing like a deep throw to Tez Johnson. But when you think of Bo Nix's highlights at Oregon, you think of him making the right decision in the right moment and getting the key third down pick. Up. Or, you know, there were obviously a couple big plays, but also you have much better athletes at Oregon. When you have more of the same athlete, which is what the NFL is, Bo Nix's strength is going to be able to identify this is the coverage, this is where the blitz is coming from, this is my hot route, and I'm just going to get the ball into my playmaker's hands. That's all Sean Payton wants. So it makes sense for him to come in. He's an older guy, he's been through multiple systems. To be able to come in and start right away, and I'm not going to say have success, I'm not going to say flourish, but at least be competent in the position. Where I think it can be negligent is if you're throwing Drake May out there, where Drake May's been, I throw to the open wide receiver, my arm is stronger than everyone else that I've ever come across, I can just launch the ball, worst case scenario, and a guy will catch it. You can't do that in the NFL. You don't have success that way. I think that he needs to sit for longer. I'm not at those practices. I'm not breaking down the all 22 of every Drake May snap. I could be wrong. But I think that you have to go case-by-case basis with each rookie. If you came in and told me, like, hey, we're going to go with Tyson Bagent and Caleb Williams is going to sit, I'd say that you're a moron. He has to start. But people want to have this one-size-fits-all, and it's either they need to play right away, look at what C.J. Stroud did, or they need to sit for a year. Look at Patrick Mahomes. And it really is a case-by-case basis on matchup of play caller, quarterback, and team. And so I think you're going to see a couple different versions of that with this rookie quarterback class. And I think a couple different versions are going to work. A couple are clearly not going to work. And that's just the way that the cookie crumbles. And then you go back in 3 years and you get a new rookie quarterback.
You start the process all over again. Interesting decisions ahead. Drake May looked pretty decent last night in the only preseason game, I believe, that was on in the NFL. We will get to a preview of Oklahoma State coming up here in a bit. I got a college football quarterback note I want to get to that we didn't get to there. We'll talk a little Mariners as well. Spring in line coming up at 8:15. We are back after this. First, here's Will with SportsCenter.
This is a story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Two young lovers with nothing better to do. Let's sit around the house, get high and watch them too.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. We'll get to Sprague in the Line coming up at 8:15. An Arizona preview coming up at 8:30 later on this morning. But I got a quick note here, and then we'll get to our Oklahoma State preview. It's kind of a wonky schedule. He could only go at 7:40. It's right in between two different segments, so we're going to have a kind of quick interview and then a quick wrap-up segment, and then we'll try and get everything back on the rails in the final hour of the show. Before we get to our Oklahoma State preview, I saw this the other day. There is a freshman wide receiver at Arkansas whose name is Monte Harrison. That name might sound familiar because he's been involved in a major sports update or headline in years past. He is turning 29 years old Saturday. That is tomorrow. And you heard that correct. 29 years old. He is turning tomorrow. He played professional baseball for the last 10 years, and he was one of the main pieces in the trade that sent Christian Yelich from Miami to Milwaukee. And so he played minor league ball for 10 years. Now he's trying his hat at college football. He's 29 years old. He's only a freshman, or he's going to turn 29 tomorrow. I saw that. There were highlights of him in their fall camp going out yesterday that I chuckled at because that is absolutely wild to be 29 years old and a freshman in college. But a big part of the Christian Yelich trade. Let's talk some Oklahoma State football. They are up next in the preseason Dirty Poll as we get closer and closer to the start of the season. The number 15 team in our college football preseason poll. Joining us now, good friend of the show. We've had him on before, Robert Allen, at R. Allen Go Pokes on Twitter, sideline reporter for Oklahoma State. Robert, first off, thanks for the time, man, out here in Portland. We appreciate it. I know your time is limited, so let's jump right in. Where are you at with the expectations for this team? It's a group that's bringing back a starting running back, a starting quarterback, 10 starters on defense, a good offensive line. Seems like hopes are high down there going into the year for the Cowboys.
Yeah, hopes are high. I just came from practice, and they're just getting started this morning. And Yeah, it's going to be 105 degrees here today and sticky. By the way, just humor me. What's the high going to be up there today?
Ooh, okay, hold on. Let me look up. We had a little cloud cover yesterday, a few sprinkles last night. The high today, it's going to be 79 and sunny.
Yeah, okay.
You want to come to Oregon sidelines, Robert? Come on. You want to come to Eugene or Corvallis? Let's go.
Well, you know, the cool thing is Oklahoma State goes to Eugene next year. I mean, this fan base is really looking forward to that. I mean, I don't know how many tickets in the contract Oklahoma State's getting, but they will use them all here because their fans, you know, they're excited. They played Oregon State up in Corvallis a couple of years ago, you know, 5 or 6. I don't know when it was. Mm-hmm. And everybody enjoyed it. So everybody's looking forward to going to Eugene. Yeah, the optimism is good. I mean, yesterday – it's day-to-day. Within the team right now, it's day-to-day. The fan base just feels like, I mean, yesterday it was announced all 6 home games sold out before the start of the season. That's never happened here before. They've sold out a season, but usually the last couple of games sell out in October. This year, everything is sold out. Every ticket they've got is sold before you even kick off the first game of the season. But like I said, within Mike Gundy and his staff, within this team, it's day-to-day. And if you look at it yesterday, it was a good day for the defense. It was maybe not the best practice. And so today is the day they're going to try and bounce back. Final scrimmage of the preseason comes up on Saturday. Classes start here on Monday. They're going to start working on South Dakota State, which – I'm pretty sure that the Jackrabbits don't really give a darn who Oklahoma State is. They've won 2 championships in 29 games in a row. So, it's going to be a great lid lifter here in Stillwater with those guys coming in and as confident as they'll be.
Yeah, it's not an easy game to start with. It looks like one on paper, and then you dive into who they are and what they've accomplished. That's not an easy way to begin your year. I'm curious to ask you, Robert, before we get to kind of the details of the team and what the structure of the roster looks like, I'm curious what you chalk that up as in terms of the excitement of selling all those. I saw that headline. That's a massive story, and it's not like Oklahoma State football's been down. They've been relevant for a long time. They've had some great years competing for playoff spots, Heisman contending quarterbacks. Like, this program's been solid for a long time. What do you think it is about this year or this offseason that made it different to have that push to have all those tickets sold before the year starts?
You know, you bring up a good point because I was covering this team when Barry Sanders won a Heisman. And I remember being out there and seeing, you know, 10, 15,000 empty seats at you know, in the stadium when he was playing. I'm like, I can't believe this. You know, they've sold most of their tickets the last decade and a half. It's just there's always been a couple of thousand seats empty. Just they've played well enough under Mike Gundy now. They've done well enough the last few years. They've given this fan base enough confidence that they've added those last 1,500 to 2,000 fans that have bought the tickets. And now, I mean, I have season tickets, but I don't use them because I'm working and my wife actually sits up in the coach's offices. So I'm looking forward to it because, you know, with Utah and some teams, I'm probably going to make a little money on those season tickets.
Hey, now we're talking. So,
secondary market is going to be really good in Stillwater this year. But, no, I just think that Mike Gundy has done well enough that there have been enough people get on board the ship that they fill it up now. There's no cabins empty. Everybody's got a bed, got a room. All the meals are prepared, and everybody's ready to go eat.
Yeah, we're talking with Robert Allen, sideline reporter for Oklahoma State, the number 15 in the preseason. Dirty Poll as we get closer to the start of the year, at R. Allen Go Pokes on Twitter. And they're going to be up in Eugene coming up here soon because that's a non-conference game we're all looking forward to. Let's get to just what the roster looks like. I mean, I think when you think Oklahoma State right now, Ollie Gordon, obviously the name that stands out the most, and he was in the news in the offseason for not the right reasons, but a tremendous running back and a guy that other teams around the country came after and tried to poach away from Oklahoma State, but he remained loyal. How dominant is this run game going to be? Because it feels like you got, you know, a couple of super, super seniors on the offensive line in a group that it's largely back. Is this just going to be a pound-the-rock offense? Do they feel good about their balance with a returning starting quarterback? What do we expect from the Oklahoma State offense this year?
You know, Gundy explained it pretty good on Media Day. They expect defenses to crowd the box with Ollie, with that veteran offensive line, and they've got about 8 or 9 offensive linemen they're comfortable with. So There'll be some rotation there, which is usually, you know, it's unusual to do that, but they're going to keep those O-linemen, their legs fresh too. You've also added Trent Howland, the running back that led Indiana last year in rushing. Now, Indiana wasn't a great running team, but I've been impressed with Howland. He's kind of an SEC back, 6'3", 240 pounds, and he can move. So then they've had a freshman come in, Rodney Fields, that is, he's been sensational. So good that, you know, the coaching staff has talked about that he's going to have to play some, and that's unusual with the two guys ahead of him. But what Mike Gundy said on media day was, hey, you know, we expect people to crowd the box. But when they do, we're going to throw the football, because with Rashad Owens, who was the MVP last year in the bowl game against A&M, mm-hmm. Brennan Presley, a slot receiver that's you know, had over 100 catches last year, and then Deshaun Stribling, who got hurt last year, but he's back. He's the former Washington State leading receiver that transferred here, you know, before last season. They feel like, you want to cover us man-to-man on the outside while you cram the box, we're going to make you pay for it. So pick your poison, and I think Mike Gundy feels really good about whatever direction his offense has to go based on what the defense gives him.
Interesting. On the other side of the ball, Robert, you had a defense that was, you know, statistically not great last year. I think 86th in scoring defense and not great in pass defense efficiency. And it's one of those, is it good to have everybody back? Because I think they got 10 starters returning. So you're hoping on a little progress and internal development and all that. What are they saying? You mentioned they had a good day in practice the other day. How are they feeling about the defense taking a big step with 10 returning starters?
You know, that's my if to this season. If the defense is better, this team really takes off. If not, it could be a lot like it was last year, which wasn't bad, but right. It wasn't what you really want with this many older players and a guy like Ollie Gordon returning. I think it's a good thing that those guys are back. They're good players. I think an even bigger key is this is the second year for coordinator Brian Nardo. He's more comfortable with both his team and the teams he has to go play. The one guy I would point out, I know Colin Oliver gets a lot of publicity. Nick Martin at linebacker had 140 tackles last year. He's one of the smartest linebackers I've ever seen here. And I've told fans, if you can get your eyes away from just following the football, and believe me, by watching Nick Martin, you'll get back to the ball. Watch him play, because he's a treat. I'm a former linebacker. So when I watch Nick Martin, I'm like, why couldn't I have been like him? I mean, you know, he really is sensational. So if they can get good play on the corners, and those guys are back, Cam Smith and a six-year senior in Corey Black, if they're good on the corners, because they like to play a lot of man and like to get, you know, adventuresome and crazy in the middle, then this defense will be better than last year. And if this defense is better than last year with that offense, this could be, you know, a special season. But that's, you know, that big if to me is the defense.
Yeah, we'll see how they turn out on that side of the ball. Wide open Big 12 this year. I'll get you out on this one, Robert, because I know your time is limited today. What's a successful season look like for Oklahoma State? What's a failure of a season? Landscape change, you win the conference, you're in the playoff. What's a successful year? What's a failure of a year?
Successful years get back to the Big 12 championship like they were last year, and this time, you know, win it. Texas won't be waiting for you there. Although if they keep losing running backs, that might not be a bad proposition. But golly, you lose your top three running backs in fall camp. I mean, if that were happening here, you'd have people drive. I know we don't have skyscrapers. You'd have people jumping off buildings downtown Stillwater. If Ollie got hurt, and there were rumors about that this week, but they were unfounded. But no, that's a good year. Is get back to the Big 12, give yourself a chance to win it, guys. Circle September 21st. I don't know who else is playing that day. I'm sure there's some damn good games. But when Kyle Whittingham brings his Utah team into Stillwater, Mike Gundy, these are two coaches that they're tough guys. They want to run the football. They want to hit you. I'm thinking we may have one of the creme de la creme of football games in Boone Pickens Stadium on September 21st. I know there's good games. Arkansas is coming in here week two, and South Dakota State you don't overlook. But I will say this, down the road, I am really looking forward to the first meeting in the Big 12 with Utah and Oklahoma State.
It's a great program. Whittingham is an incredible coach. We got an up-close look at that in the Pac-12 over the last handful of years, and we'll see what he can do. You're one of the Big 12, and we get to see your Cowboys up close and personal next year at Autzen Stadium early September. We can't wait for that. Robert Allen, at R. Allen, go Pokes on Twitter, pokesreport.com as well. He does the sidelines for Oklahoma State. Thanks so much for the time, man, here in Portland. We appreciate it. Enjoy football season, and hopefully we can catch up again soon.
Same to you guys. Enjoy the season.
Absolutely. Robert Allen of Oklahoma State, sideline reporter. I had, until he mentioned that, I had forgotten that they're coming on to next year. And then Oregon makes a return trip to Stillwater in 2020. I totally forgot that was a non-conference slate. So next 2 years, you got Oklahoma State on the books. September 6th next year at Autzen, and then September 12th at Oklahoma. That's a fun return trip. Like, I heard a lot of people who went down to the Texas Tech game had a good time. It was a crazy atmosphere this last year. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine that Oklahoma State's the same. I also find it fascinating that of all the years that they could sell out their ticket allotment prior to the year starting, this was the year that they did it.
Not the year I would have expected.
No, and I've wondered how much. He didn't get to it there, and I didn't want to spend, we only had like 10 minutes with him, so I didn't want to spend too much time on ticket sales, but I wonder how much of that was getting spurned by Oklahoma and them leaving and them, like, fans being like, you know what? Middle finger to you. Like, we're going to show you we love football. Right. We don't need you. And I wonder how much that was a driving force for that. But Oklahoma State, big expectations for them. They are number 15 in the preseason dirty poll. We will get to Arizona coming up in the final hour. We got a kind of short segment. Did they pick the right guy for this? That's next in Crunch Time on the Fan.
It's Crunch Time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Bit of interesting news in the melding of entertainment and sports this morning, or maybe this came out last night. I was a little off the radar yesterday and was trying to catch up on everything I missed. Did we see that there is a biopic announced of John Madden and the person they have chosen to play, John Madden?
Is it
Did
Kevin
you see
James?
This? No, it is not Kevin James.
I haven't seen it. I haven't
seen this.
It should
okay,
be Kevin James.
Let me throw this at you then, Will, since you haven't seen this. If you were going to make a movie, you are a powerful Hollywood producer. Look at you, Will. You're going big places. You were making a movie about John Madden. Who is the first actor that you call that you think would play a good John Madden?
Well, Chris Farley's dead, so I can't
Chris
call
Farley
him.
Chris Farley is dead. You cannot
Can
call,
I revive Chris
you
Farley?
You cannot revive anybody. It has to be an alive actor.
Dang.
Who are you making a phone call to? Is there anybody that stands out that you think looks like John Madden? Kind of big and burly?
Is it offensive to be like John Goodman?
I mean, that's not a bad pick.
I
John
feel like
Goodman's
he
not bad.
Figure it out. Like, he'd have to play old John Madden. He couldn't be John Madden through the years.
That's the tough part. You couldn't do young John Madden with John
CGI,
Goodman.
Maybe?
You could, yeah. Or maybe you get multiple, and he does the older John Madden. Some biopics have done that over the years.
Yeah, like he talks back in, and then there's, like, young John Madden running around. That's where Kevin James comes
that's
in.
That's where he's
young,
young John
Madden.
He's already Sean Payton, though. He can't be John Madden and Sean Payton. You can't be two coaches.
He's one of the greatest actors of my generation. Why not? He was great in Grown Ups, just as he was average on that stupid King of the Hill show or whatever.
Hey, King of... Don't you disrespect King of Queens,
oh,
Will Ortner.
I apologize.
Don't you disrespect the greatness that was King of Queens. No, they chose to be in the biopic to play John Madden. They chose Nicolas Cage.
No, they didn't.
Nicolas Cage is going to star as John Madden in a biopic movie.
That's either going to be the greatest thing of all time or the worst thing of all time. I'm here for it. I'll buy the popcorn. I'll show up.
I'm probably going to watch it. I'm not going to lie. Do you have any memories as a sports fan of John Madden, or was that's too early for you, other than the video game? Like, do you have broadcast memories of John Madden?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Like, to me, John, it's not Madden and Summerall. It's Madden and Al Michaels.
Ah,
like, Al Michaels will always be my GOAT, and I will defend him till I die. Anyone that says he should be off Amazon Prime can catch these hands at any point. But that's what I remember of John. Him being kind of... silly and an idiot.
Silly
and
then, like, old John Madden. I mean, he was always silly, but yeah. Al Michaels, Monday Night Football, John Madden. Yeah, I look, I'm a Nick Cage guy. Nick Cage has had a bit of a resurgence here over the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah, dude. I just watched the National Treasures.
I mean, those are good. I mean, the first one's a decent movie. The Pig movie that he filmed in Portland was pretty solid and well-respected. Yeah, go check that one out, Pig.
It's just called Pig?
It's called Pig, and it was filmed in Portland. I think it was, yeah, it was, like, highly acclaimed. He had the movie where the like, stars kidnap Nick Cage, remember that, like, with the guy from Game of Thrones?
Oh, the Last of Us. Immeasurable Talent or whatever, where Nick Cage plays Nick Cage.
Nick Cage. He's on a bit of a run right now, and now he's adding John Madden, and I'm excited. I for one, will watch. Will he work as a John Madden? I don't know, but I can kind of see it. So I've seen, like, people have done the picture-by-picture thing. The nose, I can kind of see it. You gotta whiten his hair. You gotta add a few pounds. And I don't know if Nick Cage is a tall man or not. John Madden was big, but the nose and I can kind of see it.
Does he have to get fat, or does he wear a fat suit?
I think he's gonna go fat suit. But Nick Cage is also a method actor, so maybe he just gains a ton of weight going into this role.
I think, like, as an actor, I would do that all the time. I would take a fat role and then I'd take a skinny role and then I'd go fat skinny, and I know that's bad for your health. I'm gonna die early anyways, so I just go back and forth. So then everyone would be like, look at the transformation. Like, here's Will as that guy from 600 Pound Life.
I was the big guy. Now I'm the little guy.
Now here's Will as Batman.
That's right. Somebody said he's in that new horror movie, Long Legs. It's the freakiest role you'll ever see him in. Just came out a month or so ago. That is supposed to be a terrifying movie. I've not seen it yet. But
not happening.
It's supposed to be really good. So Nick Cage having a resurgence. He's added John Madden to his Rolodex, and that movie will come out at some point in the years to come. But they're making a biopic on John Madden, and Nick Cage will be your actor. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show, which is already here, but, you know, we're getting there. More football notes. We will talk about what the hell is going on with Will's Seattle Mariners, as fans are pissed off after the last week. We will spring the line at 8:15. We'll get an Arizona preview at 8:30. Lots to get to. The final hour is next on 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.